Welcome to the I Love Monday show. I'm Mr. Monday, and tonight I'm here with the luscious but delicate Christine Hurley.
Oh my God! Wow! I see you got the check.
I love when you're here.
Thank you, honey. Thank you so much.
You brought Jim with you tonight?
I brought Jim with me tonight. Yep. My security.
He looks good in that shirt.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Security's required here.
Someone's gonna definitely Someone's gonna definitely tap that.
What? Tap him?
Yeah.
Up here?
He looks adorable, sure.
All right. There's only a couple of shirts. You're into that, huh?
Whatever.
So we just saw a video. I was at the Encore Casino.
I saw that.
That place
beautiful.
Have you been there yet?
No. It looks beautiful.
That place is unbelievable.
Looks beautiful. I'm excited. I can't wait.
There's going to be a lot of problems.
Hopefully they'll have a comedy club in there.
People are going to be getting divorced.
Oh,
alcoholism,
gonna be,
drugs.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of problems.
There was already 4 people arrested there.
My cousins.
They were all your family?
Yeah.
Got arrested there?
I had to work.
Because they said they were related to you, they got arrested.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. Look at the trouble it's already caused Steve Wynn.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Can't even see what he's doing.
Yeah.
So Friday and Saturday, I heard you were at Giggles.
Yes.
With Corey Rodriguez.
Oh, my God, Corey.
How'd it go?
Oh, my God, phenomenal. Corey Rodriguez, he is, I promise you, the next big thing coming out of here. He is just...
He's hilarious. We had him on, 2 weeks ago?
Oh, my God, he kills me. He is so well-written and clever and brilliant, and he's thick.
Really? So, Klusky, who is Miss Monday this week?
Miss Monday this week is a Cuban-Venezuelan bombshell named Vanessa. Ooh. She likes to do yoga any chance that she can, and she loves Mondays because they energize her and they pump her up for the weekends. She likes to spend her time with... On the weekend, it says, this is a translation thing. I'm not sure if I'm getting this right. She likes to spend time with her little ones, which I hope to God is what I'm thinking.
She has kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not what it was. Anyway, it's brought to you by, as always, John's Roast Beef, located at 111 Western Ave in Lynn. Call 781-595-6105 today for the best roast beef, seafood, and try their new sushi bowls.
He has a sushi mama down there. For real. So they call it a sushi mama.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you like sushi?
Yummy. I don't, but I love the bowls. I like the poke bowls.
You like Tasso too, though.
I do. You bet I love Tasso.
He's a Greek god, that guy. That.
Yes, he certainly is. Yes,
what did you say? It's a sushi what?
Sushi mama.
That's what
they call the sushi mom, but she's like, they call her mama.
Isn't sushi just raw fish?
She's the lady who has sushi
just,
down there. She's the business.
She's the lady that hands it to you?
Stop and Shop has them. Stop and Shop has the sushi mamas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not polite to call them that.
Like, sushi mamas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them in Lynn.
Yes. Absolutely.
Those are hoochie mamas.
The Lynn Stop and Shops. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
All right. Let's go to shoot the shit. You ready?
Okay. Let's do it.
Man who has only eaten raw meat for 10 years straight insists he's on a healthy diet.
Derek Nance from Lexington, Kentucky has lived on raw meat for a decade. He's 35 now. He's been doing it since he was 25. He eats nothing but raw meats, and he eats the entire thing. Sheep stomachs, spleens, livers. He especially likes the balls. Nance even feasts on rotting flesh, turning sheep stomachs into smoothies. And he's not just doing this to himself. He has 4 children who he's brought up on this. Okay? He says that the only part he won't eat are the hooves and the horns.
But he'll eat the testicles.
Oh, by the mouthful. Play Chubby Bunny with those things. You know what I'm talking about?
Chubby Bunny.
Sounds like him and Jim Hurley have a lot in common. Raw meat. I mean, you can't die from eating raw meat, right?
Oh, I know a couple girls that died from eating balls, yeah.
Yeah, yours. But like mad cow
Don't
disease.
Brag.
Still in litigation.
Like trichinosis, mad cow disease.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I mean,
it feels like this guy's trying to prove a point. Everybody's got like their diet that defines them and they want you to accept it.
Right.
Right?
Right, yeah. Like, what we were talking about, that Alicia Silverstone, the chick that was in Clueless.
Yes.
And she feeds her kids she chews it up. She feeds it, she calls it how the birds feed their baby birds. She chews up the food and then spits it in the baby's mouth so they can eat
Regurgitation.
Masticated food.
That's
insane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good for you, Alicia.
And they're 23 and 28,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
What about like the cavemen? I mean, they were eating raw meat, and their life expectancy was like 30.
Yeah, I mean, so what is that? I know.
Doesn't this guy, yeah. I mean, look at him. He looks a lot older than he is.
He looks like the villain from Karate Kid 3.
And he's brainwashed his own kids, and now they're eating that way.
Yeah. God. Now their kids are, and if they're blending it up and drinking it, that's totally the Alicia Silverstone method,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Idiots. And oh, God. I hate
it
them
sounds
all.
Like he's not even eating the good parts of, no, like, apparently, animals.
No.
He mm-mm. eats the whole thing. I think he just likes washing around those testicles in his mouth.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Is that one of your favorites?
No. Isn't a lamb a girl sheep? I'm confused.
I'm not sure.
If it has balls.
No, I think it's a ewe.
Probably a guy.
Is a ewe a girl sheep?
Don't call me that.
Little League brawl. Parents fight each other over a controversial call by an umpire.
The brawl broke out on a Saturday at a Westgate Elementary School in Lakewood. The umpire, who was a 13-year-old kid, ruled that one of the 7-year-old players batted out of order. The parents lost it, and 20 adults get into a giant fistfight on this baseball field. One person was seriously injured, and the other 4 were cited for disorderly conduct. I'm just impressed that the 13-year-old umpire recognized the batting out of order rule. That's pretty cool.
I think his brother was probably on the other team.
Maybe.
Like, that's why.
Baseball parents are insane.
Didn't something like that happen in Plymouth with you and Jim
did.
Hurley?
Yes, it did. It certainly did. It certainly did.
What happened?
Jimmy Hurley stormed the field and took my little guy right home.
That was a regular in my baseball field.
Told the coaches, actually, it was the idiot coaches, told them to go what they could do with themselves. And yeah, we actually had a case in Plymouth where 14-year-old umpire, and one of the fathers was flipping out because he thought he was making bad calls. So the umpire's father was behind the backstop on crutches. He had just had a stroke. And this idiot went over and pushed the old guy down.
Jesus.
Yeah.
How'd that end up?
Not good. Yeah, not good.
I heard that this one guy still in the lamb, a fugitive from this fight.
Oh, from this fight?
Yeah.
Oh, no
kidding. He suckered someone.
I don't have kids, but I can imagine that some of the coaches that like are really adamant about this are guys that could never make it as a baseball player, and now this is their fantasy league with little kids and shit.
That's exactly what Plymouth baseball, 2 words, Don Banzi.
He's an asshole. Yeah. If you're watching the show, Don.
Well, he wasn't a good athlete as a kid, so now he's like the king baseball.
What do you think he's doing right now?
Right now?
What do you think he's doing?
He's been caught watching porn at work, right? That was the.
So he's a regular American.
Okay, what kind of porn?
That was the recent thing. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Little League.
Yeah.
But this is like a 13-year-old ump, and there was 7-year-old kids. I mean, come on. At least if it was like 12-year-olds or 15 or college.
College, yeah. I mean, then I could see it.
You can understand. Yeah, come on.
7-year-olds and.
I want to be critical of these people, but I would straight up get in a brawl at a deli if the law allowed me to do it. I could turn this like that.
When it comes to your kids, though, you get crazy.
It's the only fun thing worth fighting over.
Exactly.
And youth sports, it's a no-win situation.
Oh, zero. And these people that think their kids are going to the major leagues, it just kills me. Kills me. Not happening.
All right, the next one here. Woman's breast cannot stop growing because of mysterious condition. It has doctors baffled.
Ruled out as a magic lamp, Lam Phrae Siu Nan suffers from excruciating neck pain due to her breasts growing excessively over the course of 9 months. Now, we would all think, oh, maybe she's pregnant, the breasts enlarge.
Oh, my God.
But this lady's sarong is so wrong that it's being filled with tits that won't stop.
Oh,
and doctors
God.
Don't think it's cancerous. Oh, they Jesus. Don't know what it is.
Look at those things.
Oh,
they're black
God,
and
they
blue.
They look awful. They look like...
It's like someone hit them with a bat.
They look like asphalt.
What would you... They look like asphalt?
Yeah, they look awful.
What would you do if that was happening to you?
I would get into some sort of porn enterprise and...
Yeah,
and
this woman is taking... You know,
I think we'd have to get them removed.
I would definitely remove them. Yeah, I would have them removed.
I mean, go get an operation if this...
That's
awful. How come they can't figure out a blocker for this?
Oh, that poor thing. Oh, my God.
So, does anybody have any thoughts on, like, what might have caused this? Like a spider bite or...
Well, maybe she wished for it.
That was mine.
I thought it was a genie lamp because sometimes if you wish for it the wrong way, it kind of bites you in the butt, right?
Yeah, or the boob.
she has to use bed sheets for bras.
I know.
She wanted Frim Flam to notice her, and this is the what
Frim
ended
Flam,
up coming out.
Frim Flam, is that her husband?
That's the surname of the camel provider from her. Her
imagine if this happened to a guy's penile area. You know?
Imagine.
Like, what would happen there?
I think you would be wearing the same thing.
We should ask Furtado.
That's horrible, though. Like, they didn't specify the country that this was in, but it doesn't look like, you know, they're equipped to deal with that.
No.
That's your assumption?
No.
Yeah.
She's 46?
And 46. It looks a little third world there.
She actually, maybe a 48C.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
She's out of range.
Yeah.
She's like in the 60s.
Wow.
Hey, well, God bless her. Get an operation, honey.
Oh my God, the poor thing.
Get him lopped off. That's all right.
Sad.
Man accused of caging a squirrel and feeding it meth to keep it aggressive.
Ooh. Ronnie Reynolds was arrested many times on many counts, but this time he was arrested for entrapping a squirrel in his house. A squirrel that he would feed meth and use to attack people he didn't like.
You're an animal lover.
Attack like what? Like Monty Python? Like?
I imagine that like he rubs peanut butter on the enemy, and this thing just goes nuts because he's feeding it with peanut butter meth.
I mean, if this guy's on meth, he might think that this thing's a lion. Like he might be hallucinating.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you know? True.
Christine, why do you think it's sad? Because you can't nut on meth.
Let's ask Tonto what meth does to you.
Well done, Tim. Well done. Well done.
How the fuck would I know?
I'm not about the squirrel. I'm all beaver.
But so, like, would you mess with a guy? Like, we've all been in shady drug deals. We're at the point where you can't just go to a CVS and buy a drug.
Speak for yourself about the drug deal.
Everybody. My face isn't on camera, so I'm going to go ahead and tell a little anecdote.
What kind of drug deal have you been involved in?
Everything before it was legal. You had to go meet somebody underneath the bridge. And if that guy showed up with a squirrel on its head that just kept running back and forth and like taunting me, get the fuck out of here.
Does he want to put the squirrel on a leash and walk it around?
No, this thing is unbridled fury.
That's
it yields
so sad.
Only to peanut butter and the call.
That's you seem like an animal lover.
I am an animal lover.
Would you have a squirrel as a pet?
No.
What would be your squirrel call, Carlo? How would you call the squirrel?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't call a squirrel.
They broke into my house before, these squirrels.
We had
really?
We left peaches.
I had squirrels break into my house, cut the screens, and come into my house.
Mine didn't. We had left peaches on the windows
one
summer, and they came right through. I woke up in the morning, there were three squirrels on my counter.
You ever see squirrels' feces?
Never. No. Not up close.
It looks like a raisinette.
It does?
That's about right.
Yeah.
You ever see a Lynn squirrel? They're just like the other ones, but they wear those Tasmania Devil hip-hop t-shirts.
Louisiana cops, don't call us to complain about Taco Bell.
A Taco Bell in Slidell ran out of hard and soft shell tacos. That sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Someone was so upset by this injustice that they called the police department complaining that Taco Bell had like violated their obligation as a Mexican restaurant, and they wanted a police officer to come down there and like, I don't know what they wanted to do. But people who, basically my question here is, who's going to get arrested in this situation? The inventory control guy at the Taco Bell, or the asshole who called that in?
I would hope the one that called it in.
Yeah. I think the cash register girl stole them for like Taco Tuesday at her house. That's why they ran out of them.
My son,
I'm thinking.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, my son Joey came home the other day with a bag of Taco Bell. True story, put it on the counter and he said, hey, plot twist, I actually have to take a shit before I eat this. Taco Bell keeps your ass ringing for 3 days, honey.
Imagine if KFC ran out of chicken.
Yeah. Imagine
there'd be riots in the street.
I went to a Dunkin' Donuts, they had no cups.
Oh, that's a...
Yeah, I'm like, you have no cups.
Why do you keep the doors open at
exactly.
that point?
You're closed.
Do you know people drink and drive with Dunkin' Donuts cups with beer in it?
Ooh.
Did you guys know that's a thing?
No.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do that.
No, it's usually...
So left up Dunkin' Donuts cup and beer, be tennis coffee, and they drink and drive. And
who would do that?
Or sometimes they pour, like, Sambuca or something into the coffee.
Mm. Terrible.
But who's going to call the cops on Taco Bell? Seriously, that person should get...
Well, let me ask you something. If not all of us are privileged enough to have a car, what if you Ubered across three towns to get some of that delicious...
Yeah.
Liquid taco meat, and you go out there, and they didn't have a receptacle for you to have it in appropriately.
What's liquid taco meat?
Welcome to Taco Bell. You can drink it through a straw. I don't know why the shells are even needed, to be honest.
Listen, Taco Bell, you're gross, okay? I mean, that place is gross, right?
It is.
They should just fill it like a 16-ounce Coke cup with liquid meat and just take it home that way.
But it's not gross when it's 2 in the morning. It's the only thing open.
Oh, yeah.
It is not, believe me.
When's the last time you were at a Taco Bell?
Yesterday.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Tony V, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Nice to have you up here.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in Swampscott on a Monday.
No?
No.
What about the attic?
I've never been up here, no.
Beautiful.
Well, let me say this. If I have been up here, I don't remember. I was probably roofing at one point. I would think.
I didn't realize you were in the movie The Town.
Yes, I'm the cable guy who explains how they break into the bank.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what happens. This is the thing Mo said when I pop up in a film, in a theater. Someone will go, "Hey, that's Tony V," and someone else in the same row will go, "Who the fuck is Tony V?"
I swear, I think The Town was my favorite. Yeah. Honestly, like my favorite. Not that it was a mob movie; it kind of was, but one of my favorite movies out of all of them.
Godfather and Goodfellas.
But like,
it was the most authentic. We got to see that the premiere at Fenway. Showed it at Fenway, and they had like a screen that went from home plate to third base.
That must have been cool.
And then we sat in the seats and watched it, and it was amazing.
That was a great movie.
I'm telling you this is the best part of that movie, that when they do the armored car heist in the North End.
Yeah.
It's authentically the way you would have to get out of the North End.
Tight streets.
Yeah.
I thought that was
the bridge.
Great.
Right. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It was good. It was
Mark
great.
Mark Sheen was in that, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were just pitching, like, we got to get on the script for the Blizzard heist of Encore, the next, like, bunch of meth heads from, like, South Boston.
Oh, that's only a matter of time.
Oh my God. We got to do that. We got to jump right on it. Right.
Oh, it's going
to
happen.
Some idiots take the red line to go knock it up. Right. You know, I can't get over the fact that people waited in line for the opening. It's open 24 hours a day. There's no key to the front door.
You'll get there.
You could wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go, "I think I'll go see what's going on over there."
Yeah.
And people are like, they're giving away China.
It's like a Black Friday thing, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
They want to be there.
They want to be there.
Hate giant ribbons, so when they cut them, it's just very satisfying for me.
So you're Somerville?
Who knew that the giant scissors business was full?
Clowns.
Right. No, I'm going to leave a little something bigger than that. No, those
scissors aren't giant enough.
No, those seem to be pinking shears. I need something I can snip a sequoia with.
So you and John Ferry grew up in the same city?
Yeah, Somerville, Massachusetts.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
John Ferry, we have up all the time.
John and I have done a bunch of projects together. He was on. He did an arc in Brotherhood. I was on that for 2 seasons, and then we did another movie called Abracadabra together. And then, you know, we bump into each other on these.
How come Brotherhood never made it big? That was a great.
That was a great show.
Yeah, it was a good series. You know, I think it suffered being ahead of its time. You know what I mean? It was on Showtime, which had half the viewership of HBO at the time.
Right.
And then the way things happened, the person Grant greenlit that project, got bumped up somewhere else, someone else came in, and then it wasn't their baby, and they just let
people
it go.
Kids today don't get, like, it's not like you pay $7 a month for a total package of, like, a Netflix or whatever. You had HBO, you had Showtime, or you had Cinemax.
Yeah, Cinemax.
They were, like, $120 a month each.
Each,
right.
Yeah.
So you had to, it was like.
You had to pick one. Right.
Yep, yeah. You had to pick one.
Yeah, but that was good work. I did an episode of Smilf, yep.
Yeah, yep.
Yep.
What's that, a small MILF? What's that about?
It's a single mother you'd like to be
friendly with.
What's her name? Frankie Shaw.
So in your case, it would be the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How was it? How was she?
It was great. I was on set with Rosie O'Donnell, too, at the time.
Yep, Rosie O'Donnell
she
played
was
the
great.
Mother.
Yeah, she played the mother.
Fantastic.
It was great. They were nice. It was mostly women run, you know, which was unique to see. And it was kind of fun. They were very
Tony
kind to
me. Tony played the neighbor, and he was perfect.
Very, very neighborly.
Very neighborly. Couldn't have been any more neighborly.
I was out pruning my flowers.
Yes, you were. Yeah. I remember.
Sure. Have you guys worked shows together, you two?
Oh, we worked together.
Oh,
she's one of my favorite people in the world to work with.
Well, you have to say that. She's
God
right
bless
here.
Well, of
does.
Course.
Yes.
Tony, you never make it out of Swampscott on a Monday night.
I was telling... Yeah.
Jim will kill you.
No, Jim would... I was telling Carl earlier when I started doing comedy. So I, you know, in the 80s, we were big comedy fans. Always been Jimmy and I comedy fans our whole life. And then when I started doing comedy, I remember saying to Jimmy, you know, all I want is to someday work with Tony V. Like that was my goal. I said he's the most sincere, like just a good person. You know, extremely well read. His comedy is just brilliant, and I just always thought, someday if I could work with Tony V.
That's cool.
That's a pretty low bar. Right there, you should set your height.
It is not, sir. Yeah. You know that.
Well, I'm concerned about people who have goals like that. I read a story once. I read a story once about a guy. His whole life, his big dream was to bowl a 300.
Oh.
And he bowled a 300 and died the next day. So it's like, since then, I have set my goals so out of reach that I will never get there.
Oh, that's so
right.
sad. Right. Yeah.
Why, that he bowls every day?
So, Tony, you've done movies, TV, stand-up.
Yeah.
I've been a writer.
Yeah.
If you could pick one out of those four, what was like your
stand-up's
favorite?
My love. Stand-up's yeah. my, there's nothing.
That's why you're still doing it.
Yeah. There's no other reason for me to do it except that I love it, and it's... You know what, and you talk about your goals. My goal when I started doing stand-up was to, you know, to be a Boston comic, you know, yeah. and to be a respected exactly. Boston comic.
Boston's like the Mecca.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. I mean, you can just go through the pedigree of everyone who came out of here and went on to do things and
there's
still
like
does it, you know.
You go, we travel everywhere and
yeah.
there is nothing.
You're on every radio station like every week.
I know. It's
like every week I hear, I'm on the I'm
good
radio
for radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you say you wanted to be a Boston comic, right?
Yeah.
Weren't you, like, there wasn't, that wasn't a thing. You guys kind of
we
made
started that.
That's what I'm
but
saying.
Yeah,
so like,
but when I started with my peers, you know, or you know, the guys who were just like 6 months ahead of me or something like Lenny Clark and Steve Sweeney and Don Gavin, a fellow by the name of Jack Gallagher, Stephen Wright, all those guys had a little leg up on me. And all I wanted was to be able to headline, you know, shows in Boston. That was my goal. And then the other stuff just sort of happened
yeah.
because, you know, you see that there's more. But it's still what I love. I mean, I'm, you know, it's there's nothing like it. I love doing stand-up.
There is nothing.
And I love the audiences around here.
Yeah. yeah.
Is Stephen Wright still around?
Yes, he's lovely.
Oh my God, he's
as
dry,
very dry, and as close to a recluse as you,
he
you
is.
Can get. Like nobody,
you
don't know where
him.
He lives.
He wouldn't come up to the show.
No.
Kiss that. Wish goodbye.
No.
He's not coming here.
No.
Yeah. He's a germaphobe too. Like you, if you work with him, like they call you.
Definitely wouldn't come up here.
Yeah.
They're like, don't. Jesus. You have to say hello to him. You have to touch his elbow.
No.
But he is. He's so
I tell
kind.
You, he wouldn't
so
step
nice.
Foot on this carpet. I tell
no,
you that.
No. Probably not.
It's
probably
funny.
Not.
So many guys came out at like such a time. It's like impossible to try to almost not be on that spectrum and try to come up with something now. Like if you have a Boston accent, you almost fit in mm-hmm. It's hard to break out of the molds of what people
Cluskey's are. Cluskey's an aspiring right. comedian right here.
Really?
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. been doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where you been working?
Nowhere you've ever been.
up there.
We kind of got to the point where it's not like it was back when you guys all were starting and there was a lot of shows, so we started putting on our own.
Yeah. Which I think is great.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what we did. That's how all the clubs got spawned. Like, you know, you'd work one club and then somebody...
What's the place in Cambridge that you guys were all at?
The Ding Ho?
The Ding Ho. Yeah. The Ding is legend. There's a movie about the Ding called When Stand Up Stood Out. It's a pretty good movie
it's
if you want to get the history of Boston comedy.
It's a great movie.
You
know? A great
movie. You didn't by any chance catch that I'm Dying Up Here, did you? It was kind of like Jim Carrey's imagining of the Comedy Store back in the day.
Yeah, no.
I didn't like...
I think it'd be a
I
great
liked
movie.
Crashing.
Crashing's great
I liked
too.
Crashing. Yeah. I'm Dying Up Here. I couldn't relate to the characters. Like they won. I couldn't.
It was
one
a little
mode.
Too dramatic or whatever.
Yeah,
but I just think if you kind of did that with
terrible.
Like the Boston archetypes and stuff, I think I don't know. Maybe I'm just
no. It'd be a good show.
And I promise you, Boston. There's nothing like Boston comedy. I'm so spoiled. It's just everywhere I go. I'm it's just. Boston is just better. It's just.
It's not apologetic.
Well, we know that.
It is.
We're better at everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You bet. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, look at our sports teams.
We beat you in a Super Bowl, and then we say the funny.
We have a casino here, though. I mean,
we have a casino.
All right.
For God's sake.
Does New York have a casino? I don't think so.
They do.
We're going to rob it on the next Nor'easter kid.
So, what about the 80s, okay? Now, I got to ask you this.
I forget a lot of the 80s.
You were doing comedy, killing it in the 80s.
Yeah.
But at some point, you became the spokesperson for American. Tourist luggage.
Yeah,
you were dressing up as the gorilla.
I was the gorilla.
Do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
kind of
Phil, you gotta remember that.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Remember
the
lines? Yeah. Here's a clip.
I can't.
There
believe
you go.
It.
Here's a clip on our telecast. Do you guys remember these commercials?
Oh yeah. I can't believe you have this.
That was you?
Yeah. But let me say this. Part of that was me. Let me.
The rest is a TSA training video.
That guy had that gorilla has TSA pre-check. He, believe it or not, he goes right to the front of the line every time.
He should.
Yeah. No, the commercials were a combination of a real gorilla, a mime who did, like gorilla antics, and
Mom, I need $60,000 to go to
school. I'm gonna be a gorilla mime.
Sure. It was what they called the niche market at the time. And then what they wanted in to go along with that was a traveling gorilla, which was like the spokesperson. So they would put me in the suit, and I would go on radio shows and, you know, do public thing. I had 4 contracts with them.
How degrading.
It was, well, they tried to get me for a 5th year, and I was contemplating it. And
you held up for more bananas.
Yeah, and then I, one day I was peeling a lollipop off of my ass. And I said, enough
for this.
Nothing plays on radio like a man in a gorilla costume.
Right, right. Oh, I tell you, very funny. I've told this story on different platforms, but it's 100% true. I got booked in the gorilla suit to do the Jerry Lewis Telethon in Atlanta, Georgia. Down in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's odd how that was there.
I heard of that place.
Yeah, yeah. And so my day starts at like 6 a.m. and I'm in the gorilla suit and we're doing radio. And I'm saying to the PR people, it's radio. I don't have to be in the suit. And they go, no, when you represent American Tourism, blah, blah, blah. So we go and they're doing a remote from where this thing's going to be. And it's these, you know, it's like the morning zoo, appropriately enough. And it's these 2 yahoos, you know, and they're cracking wise. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. We're in an empty mall parking lot and they're drinking. The 2 jocks are drinking, you know, we're interviewing. They're making fun of me, and I'm giving it back because it was a wise ass gorilla. That's why they picked me. You know, I wasn't taking shit from anybody. So they go to commercial. One guy passes out, right, and the other guy ends up in the back of a pickup truck with the, you know, the rebel flag on the back, doing donuts in the parking lot. And I'm sitting there by myself in a chair like this.
With the microphone?
I'm the only one. And they call me from the studio and they go, where's Yahoo and Redhead? And I go, I don't know. I'm just a gorilla. I'm just sitting here. And the guy goes, can you backtrack a song? And I go, we're in Georgia. I'm sure it's the Charlie Daniels band. I think we'll be fine. So I end up finishing up the show. I'm reading commercials in the gorilla suit, and people, you know, you couldn't make that up. So then, some hours later, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon now. Now the telethon's in full force, and it's me in the gorilla suit, a guy in a Spuds McKenzie costume, the dog.
The dog with the...
Right. And Ronald McDonald. we're the featured guest. And Ronald's got the magic trailer.
That has
radio show. Pedophile.
You couldn't get away with it.
Sounds like an acid trip.
It was the most bizarre thing ever. So what they don't tell us is at some point, they're going to teach us this traditional clog type Southern dance, right? And then we're going to be up on the stage, and we're going to dance, the 3 of us, and then the kids are going to put money in the fishbowl, and Jerry Lewis is going to get the extra $65 he needs to cure whatever disease he was curing, muscular dystrophy. So we're doing this. They give us like a rudimentary exercise in this dance, and they start playing the music. We're doing this clog type dance. What they didn't tell us is every 30 seconds, they'd go, do you want them to go faster? And never in the history do you want them to go faster have anyone ever said, no. You know, no, that's fine. That's fast enough. So then the music would go faster and louder, and we'd dance faster and faster like that. So we're dancing, and I'm in a gorilla suit.
Sweat
with a leotard and you know, muscles on. It's just awful. My feet are squishy from sweat. I pass Ronald one time, who's not allowed to sweat in public because it ruins his makeup. And he looks at me, breaks character completely, and goes, I don't think the dog's going to make it. And we look over, and the Spuds character has stopped doing the traditional clog type dance, and he's doing this Grateful Dead wavy kind of a trippy sort of a thing. And then sure enough, he fucking hits the deck. The dog goes out. The record skips. You know, it was a vinyl at the time. And the record skips. The dog's
turntables.
Out cold. Yeah, the dog's out cold. Ronald goes, that's it, I'm out of here. He takes off. I'm standing there looking over this dead dog. And the woman in the frilly hoop skirt's going, you got to do something. I go, lady, I'm in a fucking gorilla suit. What can I'm the lowest on the rung here. You know? So I grab the guy, ostensibly under the paws, and I drag him off the stage. Kids are crying, the gorilla killed the dog. And I bounce him down the stairs. He's like, boo, 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 boo. We get him in back of the magic trailer and stuff, and I rip the guy's costume open, right, and take his head off.
Was it one of the DJs?
No. It was, that would be the best. That'd be so great. No, but he was not an official costume character either because he reeked of alcohol, this guy. And what had happened, they bought so much Bud for this event, they gave him the suit, and one of the ladies put her cracker husband in the suit, and he got hammered. He was shit-faced. So they go, you got to help. You got to do something. Give him out the money. I go, I'm not touching the guy. So I pick him up by the collar and I start fucking whacking him. I'm slapping the shit out of this guy, right? And nothing. He falls back down. I go, you better call somebody because that's the extent of my knowledge of rousing a dead dog, you know? And so the guy opens his eye and sits bolt straight up like in a movie and he goes, I need a beer. And I go, my friend, you need a lot of beers.
Yeah. Did you actually meet Jerry Lewis?
No, never met Jerry. Well, I met Jerry Lewis at another time.
Oh yeah.
I was doing a show. I was over in England. I was doing shows in England with my buddy Bobcat Goldthwait, and they were doing this big show at the Palladium, like the ritziest place in the world. Yeah, right. And Jerry Lewis was the. I actually filled in for Jerry Lewis, so we had met him in the afternoon. He'd come right from the telethon, and they were going to honor him at this thing, right? And it was a great show. It was Gilbert Gottfried, Bobcat Goldthwait, Emo Phillips, and a bunch of British comics. And I wasn't even on the show, but I was doing satellite shows around. And England had a great comedy scene. We had a ball when we were doing it. And so there's this big thing at the Palladium. It's sold out. It's for drug rehab. And it's about 2.5 hours old. They had flown in a mime from France because they love Jerry Lewis over there.
Are you on that like booking circuit or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the mimes, lovely. Yeah, yeah, they gravitate toward me. He's got a 30-piece orchestra that's going to play Jerry Lewis on. They show the screen comes down. They show a retrospective of his hits. You know, all the classic Jerry Lewis bits, the dancing and the whole thing. The screen goes up, and the MC comes out, and he in a very British way, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to tell you this, but Mr. Lewis has become unwell. He will not be performing.
Unwell?
Unwell, he said. I remember those words exactly. Unwell. I'm sitting in the
it's
second
English
row.
English terminology.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sitting in the second row between Paul Provenza and Emo Phillips, and my buddy Bobcat Goldthwait gets on stage, pushes the MC on this off the stage. He goes, hey, Tony, want to do a set?
Oh,
and I go,
wow.
Yeah, that'd be great. And 30 seconds later, I was closing the Palladium instead of Jerry Lewis.
Oh, wow. My God.
Good thing he became unwell.
Yeah, he was very unwell.
I'm a big Bobcat fan.
Sounds like that dog was unwell.
That dog was very unwell. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Goldthwait and I have been friends for
he's directing now. Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Shit, but, yeah. I mean, I grew up off the Police Academy shit. I just, that was.
Yeah.
That was everything to me when I was
a kid. Yeah. I just did a thing with him last year that was on in the fall, Misfits and Monsters. He had a thing on True TV, and he had me painted blue to play Neptune, god of
like
the sea.
Like the Blue Man Group?
Yeah. It was like, I looked like a giant Smurf
that
lost its way. Like if a Smurf was going into rehab.
That is
what would your name be if you were a Smurf?
Poppy T. Lovin'.
That's great.
No doubt about it. That'd be my Smurf.
So you get a
it's also my rap name and my street name.
Really? Well, you're a Somerville guy.
Yeah,
so.
You got to have a street name.
Kind of rough around the edges.
Sure, it's perfect. Yeah.
So you get this tremendous podcast.
I do.
Called The Dueling Comedians.
Dueling Comedians, yeah.
So what's the process been like?
I don't know. People ask me to do shit, and I just do it, and then we see how it goes. But it's, I think younger comics, too, now, they like this to pit themselves against each other. Like, yes. It's like a roast battle kind of thing. But this is just me interviewing, I find out about a younger guy or some of my friends. Depends on who's around. And then we just do bits back and forth at the end, and you vie for a little coveted trophy, which is more of a gag than anything else.
Sharpens your skills.
Yeah. It keeps you sharp for doing it, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, the numbers are growing, and it's nice that you do it for the new. Yeah, you introduce the young guys. I like comedy so much. You know, a lot of my peers and stuff, they just go about their business, but I like to keep my fingers in it and see what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, because I get sick of like going to shows and people come up to me and go, "Hey, I'm so and so. I'm the opening act," and I'll go, "I'm gonna have to take your word for that. I have nothing.
I don't know who you are.
Never heard of you. But I go, okay, So I try to do it that way. And I'm an old white guy. You know, the young guys know the social media, and
it
helps me too. You know, you learn and you get stuff.
It's gonna be tough to get up every night for a show, though. Like some nights, you probably just want to stay home and not go do one. I mean, how many times does that happen? Then you have to go.
Oh.
It happened just tonight.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, right. I was laying on the couch and I go, shit, I gotta get the fucking swamp Scott.
God damn it.
Now look at you.
Look at now. I wouldn't have traded this for anything. Are you kidding me?
He's got a Smurf name and everything.
Yeah, Bobby T. Lovin, sure.
Bobby T. Lovin.
Right, what do we got? We got something for Tony, I think.
Well, in honor of Christine, we did this before, and we had struggled with this bit until she came back and kind of revived it, so we want to bring it back. It's Punch or Lunch, okay?
Love it.
We're going to present you with somebody, in pop culture, and you're going to determine whether or not you want to punch them in the face or take them out for, like, entrees.
Am I going to know who these people are?
You will.
We're going to show you a picture of them.
Okay.
Based it off just
once
like
you get past Ariana Grande, I'm done.
I'm on the same wavelength as you.
We'll start with Mr. Monday so you can get familiar with it, all right?
Oh,
Mr. Monday.
Great.
He was most likely a very influential person in your life. He's an Italian-American who landed a lot of big roles when you were growing up.
Okay.
But as the years have gone on, he's got a little bit stranger and stranger. Mm. What would you like to do? Do you want to punch Travolta, or do you want to take him to lunch?
You know, I grew up thinking, when I was in fourth grade, I thought it was John Travolta, by the way.
I was
really?
Yeah.
I see the similarity.
Because you like the other boys in class? Or?
I just thought I was. I love Grease. I love Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
But then this guy got weird after 2.5 babies.
Yes.
2.5 babies.
2.5 babies. He had 2.5 babies?
That was so confusing but hilarious at the same time. 2.5 men.
Oh, they had the Target baby.
It's 3 men and a little baby.
Three men and a little baby.
No, yeah, he was in the Target baby. He wasn't in 2.5 babies.
No, we know the real name.
2.5 babies was the TV show.
Two and a half men with Charlie Sheen.
Which is so meta
that this is amazing. Hey.
But no, seriously, then you get into that Scientology stuff. Him and Tom Cruise probably want to double team me. Like, you know what I mean?
Who wouldn't?
Couple weirdos.
Absolutely.
I don't want to do anything with them. I would have took him to lunch before.
Right.
But now, forget about it. I wouldn't. No,
he
want to punch me in the butt. I don't want that.
He's fisting
Italy
him.
And have.
That's what he would want. Punch right in the culo. I'm all set.
You good that way, are you?
No, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I'm all set. Right. Some guys like fingers up there, not me.
Looks like I'm going to see Travolta.
I'm not into that.
The next one is for Tony.
All right.
This guy's an actor, writer, and director. He's known for his comedy movies and more recently his serious roles. He's also known for being the guy that loses and gains back 200 pounds every year in record time. Are you eating lunch or swinging a punch at Jonah Hill?
Well, I'm going to say, which Jonah Hill? I'm not eating lunch with the fat Jonah Hill, because he's going to have all the lunch.
The one on the far left.
Yeah.
The one on the left, the good looking.
The nice tie.
Yeah, the nice tie.
Yeah.
Does anybody know how Jonah Hill was discovered?
Who wears black tie if you're not going to a prom?
Was it Judd Apatow? Did Judd Apatow discover
The story that I heard was that he was friends with Dustin Hoffman's kid, and he was doing prank phone calls, and Hoffman was like, "This kid's so funny, he brought him to a studio."
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Did not know that.
Is there an option where you can write, have like, right in the middle of lunch, punch them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it seems like it would go well for about 10 minutes, and then you'd go, this fucking guy's annoying.
Yeah. He'd say something wrong.
Yeah. He'd say something
You can tell if you want to punch a guy by the frame of his glasses, and that on the right, I'm going to punch
him. He's not an East Coast guy.
No, he's definitely not an East Coast guy. I'm going to say punch.
Yeah. Good.
He's the asshole at a Borders Books on a Kindle, just there.
Okay.
All right. Christine.
And at some point,
thinker.
He also looks like the kind of guy, like, if you asked him a question or something like that, at one point he'd just look up and go, eh.
Yeah, and he would.
Yeah.
And he would. Yes, he would.
It looks like the guy in the middle ate the other two guys.
That does.
I would say.
Christine, you ready to make fun of somebody else?
I'm ready.
Great.
I live for it.
This next lady has miraculously been somewhat relevant in comedy for 30 years.
Oh.
With her signature bright red hair and her annoying voice, do you want to eat a spiral ham with Kathy Griffin or throw one through a window?
like Harmon?
I tell you, I used to love her. Like when even before I did comedy, I thought she was brilliant. She cracked me up. Her stage presence, her mannerisms. I absolutely used to love her. I used to love her show. She had a show on Bravo, the D-list celebrity. Yeah. Great, because she had her parents involved with it. And then she just got crazy.
She was set to be like a Joan.
Yes. You know? She tries too hard now. Every summer she would come to Boston and we would go see her, and every year it would get just a little worse. Like, she's just trying too
hard.
She's
a comedian.
She's a comedian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She related to Barbara Streisand?
No.
I thought it was Elizabeth Warren.
I thought it was Carrot Top.
I can see that one on the right.
She's a beastly woman.
She is not.
They're both entitled to casinos.
That's right. That's right.
Native Americans and Carrot Top.
That's right. But I would probably... punch her. Look at me, Miss Big Balls. Like I'd punch her.
If you punch her, your fist is bouncing right off that rubber face.
I'd probably be kissing her ass. I'd probably lunch.
I'd probably lunch.
Yeah, why not?
I wouldn't punch her, but she used to like sit with people and then tell everybody's dirt to other people, so I'd be nervous.
But
after a time, don't you know that's what you're getting with her? Why would you tell her
it
anything?
Is.
I would just give her stories that I'm making up.
I would.
The poor thing's bald. Those are all wigs. I mean, let's face it.
Oh, yeah. She's had some surgery done and it's not gone well.
Yeah.
She's in the poodle family.
She's like a catcher's mitt with eyelashes in that middle one.
She looks just like Carrot Top, though, doesn't she?
A little bit.
God, that's crazy.
She's had a lot of work
there. Her traps are not as big. That guy's got fucking huge. He's ripped.
Oh my God.
He's overcompensating.
He looks
for not
crazy.
Being funny.
Looks like Zach
for being a redhead.
Tony's got to carry all those props.
Oh my God. We one time hit his props at a show. And he cried.
He actually cried.
He was trying to disguise it, but he was whimpering.
He's scheduled to be on the show in 2 months.
Yeah, tell him I
said don't want him now. Forget about it.
Somebody told me that he cornered the market in those giant scissors you were talking about.
Between him and Gallagher, I don't know. I don't know who got there first.
Mr. Bundy, you want another one?
I think him and Kathy did a scissor.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, I'll take another.
Mr. Monday, this next guy was known early on in his career as a pretty boy, but as he got older, he turned into an accomplished producer, a savvy investor, and he started investing in Uber, Spotify, and Airbnb. Mr. Monday, do you want to see Ashton Kutcher's beautiful smile over a lunch, or do you want to just punch it until it's bloody?
No, I want to go to lunch with this guy. Look at those investments. I mean, Uber, Spotify, Airbnb.
Yeah.
I want to learn. I need some advice.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fucking throwing my money out the window lately. I want some insider trader tips. Are you heavily invested
in anything?
Not really.
No.
How is he in on all of these things? Is he like fucking the CEO's daughter?
I actually always thought
probably.
Is that how that works? Yeah. How does he know?
I always thought he was a cool dude. I mean, look at Demi Moore. I mean, the other chick now. Who's this new one?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Who's he with now?
Mila Kunis.
Oh, she's really beautiful.
Yeah. Oh my God. Happy story back together, right?
That nauseates.
I bet if I went to lunch with him, he'd tell me intimate stories about Demi Moore, so I want to go to lunch with this guy.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
What Bruce Willis tastes like?
He's a cool dude. I'd definitely go to lunch with him.
Yeah.
That's a lunch, I think.
Tony, ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
This guy's been a mainstream. He's been a mainstay in the mainstream. TVs, movies, 30-plus years. He's known for the beautiful woman he parties with, the drugs that he's done. Do you want to eat chicken and waffles with this guy, or do you want to punch him in the face?
Hands down, without question, a punch right in the throat.
Wear rubber gloves, though.
Yeah, not even. You know, he's one of those guys that, to me, you know, had it all from day one.
Right.
You know, born with a silver spoon up his ass.
Exactly.
And then just decided to piss it away.
Look at him with the douche flute.
And for those of us who work hard at what we do,
right,
to get to a place where you can just, you know, think you're something other than, you know, an entertainer and that you fucking matter, deserves a punch right in the face.
Yeah. Hit him with a left or a right?
I'd give him a combination.
Combo, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. I'd go to the body twice and then a haymaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave a lot to the community as far as AIDS.
Yes, he did.
Well, then, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yes. You got to wear a Tyvek suit and rubber gloves.
Yes.
Yeah,
I got to fight this guy.
I'll bring a hazmat team with me.
It sucks because, like, when I was a kid, he was cool. He was in, like, Hot Shots. Platoon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was so cool.
Wasn't he Breakfast Club?
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
His brother was Breakfast Club.
No, the other.
Emilio. Emilio was Breakfast Club.
But, this is what I'm saying. You've got it all. I mean.
And here's, you know, there's an interesting point is with Emilio, because Emilio kind of played it straight. He was kind of cool, and nobody gives a shit about Emilio.
Right.
Except for this guy right here who's got a poster about
him. I tell you the one thing he did do, he did one of the smartest things ever after he got, you know, it was all the eating tiger hearts or whatever he was doing.
Oh, yeah. Winning
the whole, that thing.
After he left Chuck
Lorre. Yeah, he went to Fox. And they gave him another shot at it, and he had a 90 show deal, pay or play. No matter what happened, no matter what he did, they had to pay him for 90 shows.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And he got away with it.
It's like a pro baseball contract.
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All that shit. And tiger blood is just the same thing as human blood, but with less white blood cells, right?
I don't know anything about tiger blood.
It's
the last one.
Now you're out of my purview right now.
Tiger Woods blood? Is that what you're talking about?
No, if you were talking some sort of a simian, you know, a gorilla family, I know.
He knows this.
Yeah.
We did a story earlier about there's a brothel in, like, was it Cuba that was shaving them and prostituting it out?
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
They came to stop it, and so many people were upset.
But they were shaving what and prostituting what out?
An orangutan.
Yeah.
And they it wasn't just that everybody was banging it. They wanted to keep it, and the army came to take it away, and they protested it and tried to stop them from taking it away.
And where was this?
Cuba.
I think, yeah, let's
in
say Cuba.
In Cuba?
I just made that up.
Did you make that up?
It was South America.
Somewhere in South America.
Oh, my God.
Not America.
Oh, my God.
All right. Speaking of unfuckable apes, the last one is for Christine. It's an actress known for being part of a highly successful movie series, but her demeanor and resting bitch face seem to really rub a lot of people the wrong way.
Punch.
Would you like to sit down and eat bacon and eggs?
Violent tonight.
No, I don't like. I know I am. I'm a little ornery.
You're a mother of five, aren't you?
I know, it's terrible. A four. This one, she just drives me crazy. She's gay. She's straight. She's straight. She's gay. I can't stand it.
I mean, if you're gay, you're gay.
I get pit or pendulum, honey. Pit or pendulum.
Oh, yeah. Get a glove.
I don't have time.
Get a glove. Pick a team.
Yeah, pick it. Exactly. She's just annoying. She thinks everybody, she's annoying. And I hated all the vampires.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like the vampire movies.
Crazy.
They turn my
stomach. Boring.
See, now this is, I have no idea who this woman is.
She was in, what did they call those movies? Twilight. Thank you, honey. Twilight movies.
Oh, yeah.
With the other goofy looking thing there.
Like, she's cute, but, like, it's not, like...
She's annoying.
Aren't there a thousand women in Hollywood that are just hotter than her? I don't... Maybe I'm wrong.
You know what?
There's a thousand women in Lynn hotter than her.
She's... I'll tell you, okay. I have a list of people. Like, Jennifer Aniston. I would punch Jennifer Aniston. I'm so sick of Jennifer Aniston.
I'm sick of the same people. How many times do you need to see her fail in a relationship in a movie?
Why do you hate her so much?
How many times do you have to see her talk about life after 50? Who gives a shit? Who gives
like she's anywhere near the bar of what that conversation is.
Walk a mile in my rucksack. Well, I pushed out five kids.
She also had that thing where she got a nose job.
Oh.
Like well after she was successful.
Right.
You want to go, what were you missing out on?
Yeah, exactly.
What prompted
you? What guy
didn't
want to fuck you already?
Right, yeah. right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, what were you missing out on? Right. She is the most, she's so annoying.
She got a vagina tuck.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
that's the
I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
She did.
They showed on YouTube.
What are they tighten it?
I don't hate her for that.
Sew it up. They sew it up. Yeah.
I can't go to a nude beach anymore because I leave snail tracks. If you know what I mean.
That seems like it could be cured with the key from an old can of ham.
Yes, like a spam.
Yeah.
A spam.
You know what I mean?
What about a can of peas?
You can spam that right up.
Just twist it right up.
Twist it right up. Spam it right up.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep. Damn.
I was on it. phone call today. This is bitching about over 50, right?
Yeah.
I got a phone call today, and it was my insurance company, and there was a prompt that said, if you're over 50, press 1. We have a special offer for you. So I'm a sucker for that kind of thing, right? And I push the button because I got time during the day, and people love to talk to me. And so this fast-talking woman, so you can't get a word in, says, you know, if you're over 50, she goes, are you over 50? I said, yeah. She goes, well, we'll send you a health alert pendant in case you fall. And I literally said to her, I go, what century are you calling from that 50-year-olds are tripping and falling in great numbers? I go, 50's not what it, I go, I'm well over 50, and you can go fuck yourself.
Was she in this country?
I go, you'd be getting calls from me. You'd be getting calls from me 6 times a day because I was taking a nap.
Yeah, could someone get me a donut?
Your thing went below level. Yeah, I'm fucking sleeping. Yeah. You nitwit.
Yeah. It'd be funny if they asked what your prom song was to verify if you're 50 years old.
I had a kid. I had the last time I filled out a survey or something over the phone, and the kid says date of birth. I said 11/2/64. He says 19. I said, no, 1864, you fucktard. 19.
Should have told 2064. What's the matter?
I know. 19?
What's wrong with people?
All right, we're going to take another quick break. I mean, Klusky, what's going on with Paige? She's like a train wreck.
She's just like a really bad influence on the guys in the house, I feel like. I don't really follow this type of stuff, but this one has me sucked in.
Well, stay tuned. I guess in a few more weeks, there's going to be another trailer.
There's a series finale coming up. It's sometime in July, and it's right before Paige's wedding, I think, is coming up.
Yes.
Did you guys watch reality TV at all?
No.
I don't think you even watch TV besides sports, right?
I don't watch, much sports? TV. Yeah.
Not football, though. You're not a football guy.
Football guy. Baseball, hockey is my... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, they show everyone their whole life, their family, and this and that. They sell their souls.
No,
there's no need for that.
It's kind of like...
There's no need for that. I got enough drama in my own family.
It's all fixed.
Yeah. Of course. Once there's a cut of a camera, then it's not reality.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If somebody has to go, could we do that again? Then it's not reality.
Exactly.
You know, so they
what would you say about tonight? Is it reality?
This is like an an alternate reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I walked out of here and, like, devastation.
We're in 1967.
Right,
it would be like a UFO outside waiting for you.
Like, you finally reached your point where you have no use to anyone else.
You're now dumber.
Please get on board.
You're now dumber tonight because of you on the show.
Come sail away with us, lads.
Klus, we got something else for Mr. V here?
Did we want to talk about the things that are going on at Laugh Boston? My head on here.
So, you're teaching a class at Laugh Boston?
It's on the books, yeah. They came to me, and I actually wrote a curriculum, if you will.
You did?
Yes, for 4 different tiers.
Did you use a typewriter when you wrote that?
Yes, I have a Selectric. Yeah. Yeah, I have an old IBM. And I put on the Gorilla suit.
You'd a dino label maker.
Yeah.
You must hit like two keys at the same time.
I'm awful with that. I
took Tony's comedy class.
Recently? Yeah, I
10 years ago?
Yeah, was it that long ago?
Probably not. Probably seven, eight years ago.
And you can't teach somebody to be, I tell people this all the time, you can't teach somebody to be funny.
No.
But if funny's in you, I'll help you, figure it out.
Get her out.
You know what I mean? And I've done it a couple of times, and now Laugh Boston wants to do this. They're connected to the Improv Asylum, and they wanted to have like 4 different tiers. So I'm going to start teaching the first tier sometime in July, and it's just people who want to experience it, get 5 minutes together, learn how to be on stage and stuff like that.
Laugh Boston's a big deal. I mean, that's a big. I mean, you're in South Boston,
beautiful.
The highest rent district.
It's beautiful.
Oh my God.
It's a hotel, so you have people that are there to have a couple drinks.
So is the hotel
funding
that?
It's in the building. Right.
I'm wondering.
They got the investors and stuff.
Yeah.
And
it's a beautiful club, though. Yeah. It really is.
Listen, I'll give you the whole class right now. Get up on stage, start telling jokes.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all
masterclass.
Yeah. That's what it is. But some people need.
Right.
You can't wait for anyone to tell you you're funny. But some people, they need a structured way. of going about
the OCD people.
Yeah.
Well, right. Beyond that, like if you've never stepped into it, you don't like if somebody says, "Oh, go try an open mic." You don't have somebody to have something to go to and be like, "All right, now I'm okay to go to that thing." It's scary to go up for the first time.
Oh god. Yeah.
Oh, for everybody.
For somebody to tell you, "Yeah, you suck," but in 2 days, you know, keep going. You know.
Yeah. Let me say this: it should be scary. Yeah. Oh, you know what I mean?
It still is.
It's right. It, you know.
You guys still get butterflies?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. It depends on the situation. You know, I opened for Bill Burr.
Oh.
At the Boston Garden, you know, and I live in Charlestown, so I literally walked to the Garden to go to work, which was a big hoot. But, you know, much like this, you're just shooting the shit before the show, and then there's always that time right before you go. All right, there's 18,000 people going to be listening to me next. You know what I mean? And it got a little weird, First time I ever did Conan O'Brien, my first Conan O'Brien, right? You know, I knew a lot of the writers and we were goofing around and stuff like that. And then they take you and they put you in a closet, basically, right next to the behind the curtain, and then they go, okay, we're gonna go to commercial, we'll hear music, then you'll hear your introduction, you step out here, and then they leave you alone, and you're in the dark in this little cubicle, and my knees actually buckled. You know what I mean? And the only other time that happened to me was on my wedding day.
Oh, you know, that's
like
sweet.
And I go like, what? And you start, that's when the doubt comes in, you're going, I can't do that. I was never born to be on national television.
Right.
And then you go out, you do your first joke, and you're home, and everything's fine, you know.
It is,
but,
though.
Yeah, but it can be nerve-wracking.
Oh, now you're famous. You're on the Monday show.
That's right.
My life's never going to be
now.
The same.
It's done now.
I'm glad Jimmy Hurley's here to get me to my car.
What do we got next for Tony?
All right, this is a new one that we've been working on, but we haven't tried it yet, but we want to get everybody involved, and this is... Just work with us here, okay?
Sure.
This is an old SAT format that we wanted to bring to the Monday show, okay?
I flunked my SAT.
I'm just going to go right into it. The first one's for Christine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've done these before, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One's asshole is to its body as blank is to the United States.
Trump.
There we go.
Good answer.
Sorry. I'm sorry if you Trumpers, but fuck him.
Why are you being nice about it?
I got to imagine Trump supporters can't argue that he's not an asshole.
Oh, he's a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Isn't it like, talk about an alternate universe. Every time I turn the news on, I'm like, this cannot be our president.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But not,
she needs to shut up.
Politics aside, I don't support. I could give a shit, but I do want my president to be a little bit of an asshole.
A little brash.
Yeah.
Not in the ways that maybe not, we have.
Yeah, right.
Going,
yeah.
Let's do a little less controversial one, Mr. Monday, okay?
Sure.
Italians are to body odor as Asians are to...
Driving?
Italians are...
It's like every time an Asian's driving, it's like they're looking for Godzilla. They're like... Oh, like a UFO, you know what I mean? They're like,
fish in a bowl.
I mean, that's how I look at it.
All right, so far none of this is going to get a Facebook boost. Tony.
Yes.
Robert Kraft is to managing his staff as his massage therapist is to...
Managing his staff.
I was hoping you would say that.
There we go. I just filled in C for all of these. I've been right every time. Christine, normal portions and exercise are to good health as vegan living is to...
You're gonna die. You can't live. You're gonna die.
You're competing with rabbits.
Exactly.
For food,
you're gonna
you know?
Die.
Those guys are gonna win every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Circle of life, honey. Circle of life.
Carlo, you're on a strict vegan diet, right?
No.
I personally.
Why would you say that?
Well, I personally only eat out vegans.
Oh.
Really?
Do they
I'm just
notice?
Trying to save this horrible. This one sucked. Let's move on to the next one.
No, I think it's going swimmingly.
This one was brought to you today by Tasso. Mr. Monday, proctologists are to probing rectums, as Greeks are to...
Achilles, the Greek god.
Greek god of what? Putting things in somebody's ass?
No, many male... He had many male companions. Look up Greek mythology, please.
What? Is that the tattoo that you have? Is that why you know that? That's an odd
one. Why do you know that?
I don't know. I just, I'm well read.
All right.
I mean, what separates a Greek boy from a Greek man?
Crowbar?
Yep. You got it.
Oh, this is awful.
Is that one of your jokes I stole?
That's the last demographic we're allowed to make fun of, is the Greeks.
There's got to be somebody left, right? Is it the Greeks? Right.
Who's going to stop us?
I guess, right?
You know what I mean?
I mean, you can't make fun of anyone anymore.
Oh, sure.
If anybody's going to get fucked in the ass, it's going to be a Greek.
Greek, I guess.
Yeah. The last one is for Tony.
Okay.
Gardeners are to potted plants as Harvey Weinstein is to...
Oh, potted vaginas.
That's how babies are made.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Well, sure. You guys did great. All of you guys are going to community college.
Yay! Yeah, that's great.
I've already been.
Woohoo!
I didn't last. So, Tony, what do you got for shows coming up that you can let the audience know?
This Saturday, the 29th, I'm at the Palace Theater in Manchester, New Hampshire.
The Palace in Saugus on Route 1?
No. Yes, we're driving back in time. Then we're going to go to Katie's in Kenmore Square. And then the Rat. So the Palace Theater in Manchester, New Hampshire. And then Friday night, I will be at basically my second home, which is Giggles.
Nice.
And if anybody wants to come out in the alley behind the dumpster and smoke a cigar afterwards, that's where I'll be.
Mm-hmm. Good man.
And that is not a euphemism for anything. That's exactly what I'll be doing.
What about, how can people find you online?
TonyVComic.com. Or Tony V Comic on Facebook and Instagram and all of that. But my daughter runs that for me because she's only 19.
And check out the podcast, too.
And my podcast, yes. Dueling Comedians.
That's cool. So you got your daughter helping you out. That's awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything. I was trying to fix my profile on Agency Pro today, which is a, tool you get booked by. And I kept wanting to download this, put this picture on the thing, and it kept going up sideways. So then it took me 45 minutes to find out how to rotate it, and I rotated it, and it still went up sideways. And then I rotated, so I said in my head, this is how my head works, I go, well, I'll put it upside down, and then it'll come right side up. And then I did it upside down, and it came out fucking upside down. So I believe I may have broken the internet.
Christine, your kids help you with your social media?
They do. They do, actually. Oh, yeah, cool. They do. I have one that she's really very helpful. My number two girl. She's very helpful with my social media.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Jimmy Hurley does a lot of it, too. God love him.
Jimmy Hurley's really
God
multifaceted
love him.
Type of guy.
He's a multifaceted.
We're missing it in the shot, but Christine has some bomb-ass shoes on.
I love the way you guys both have your legs crossed the same way.
Well,
I feel like I should cross mine, too. Well, my nuts are going to get in the way, but fine.
Sometimes
the Forever 51 sticker is still on the bottom.
She's got great shoes.
You
have great shoes.
Yeah, they're adorable.
I got good shoes. I have good shoes.
And I have to say, for me, this is very new to me, being able to cross my legs.
Yes.
So I do it whenever
you're overweight.
I
can.
He used to be a
how much weight did this guy lose?
I lost 70 pounds.
Huh.
This guy lost 70
pounds. I never thought about the leg crossing.
70 pounds.
I never thought about it.
Try it. It's very comfortable.
No,
he's not eating Italian bread anymore.
No. See, that's as far as I can get when I go all the way up.
No bread, no sugar, no dairy.
When people see you, they go, hey, you look like you lost weight, did you? I go, no, I got it tied up in the back like a ponytail. Don't go around behind me.
Something's different about you. Did you get a haircut?
Or they'll go, did you mean to? It fell off one night. I woke up, there was a huge blob of fat next to my bed. I almost stepped in it trying to take a leak.
I love what Kelly McFarland says when people say, you look like you've lost weight. I can see it in your face. She's like, yeah, because that's where I was carrying the 80 pounds. Right in my face, in my head.
Did you do a lot of cardio and stuff too?
Not a whole lot. I started walking more and stuff like that, but nothing. Nothing strenuous. I don't do anything strenuous. It was mostly change of diet, it's been a year and a half now, and it's
awesome.
Still going.
Keep it up,
well.
Man.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
It's keeping it off is the hard part. Right.
Well, we slip up here and there.
Mm-hmm. But it's also weird when you lose weight and you go like, oh, it's not that better.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is still like I was in St. Augustine.
I beg to differ.
I was in St. Augustine, Florida, which is where the Fountain of Youth is.
Yeah.
Where they get all the
it doesn't
fake,
work.
Fake boobs, fake lips, fake everything down there.
It doesn't work. I drank from it. I bathed in it. I pissed in it. Nothing. Right. This is what came up.
It's probably in the polar opposite location of the Dominican Republic, if you're
looking. Oh, don't go there. Right? Yeah. No. And if you do, don't drink from the mini bar.
What's the latest on Big Poppy?
Mistaken identity.
Yeah.
Because he could be mistaken for a lot of people.
No, I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
Absolutely not. Nope.
Who'd they pay off for that
they
one?
Had the they had the same color pants on.
It's
one of the most iconic figures in all of the world.
No way.
Is it courts in the Dominican Republic?
Basketball or tennis?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Courts of law.
Now I have no idea.
We went for the Super Bowl this year to the Dominican. I would never step foot.
Excuse me? The Super Bowl? During the Super Bowl.
During the Super Bowl, we were
in
the
Dominican. Did you get to watch it when you were down there?
It was terrible. They called it the big match because they can't.
Was it in Spanish?
It was all Spanish. That was our first night there. I looked at him and said, this
Spanish.
Is going to be a long. No, me no.
Conozco español. Estudio para seis años.
No, me no. But it was disgusting. If I ever go back there again, it would be.
Really? What was just dirty?
It was filthy. It was. We got on our connecting flight in Miami. We flew from Boston to Miami to connect. And we're sitting in the gate at the Miami airport. And I'm watching all this. I said to Jimmy, this is like a trailer with wings. These people, nobody had teeth. I mean, it was the worst of the dregs of Whiskey Tango. It was just awful.
Yeah, it's either you're rich or you're poor. There's no in between.
And the resort was disgusting.
And the Dominican?
Oh, it was disgusting.
Oh, I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Stains on the sheets and stuff on the beds.
Oh my God, we couldn't get out.
That was from Jim.
No, it wasn't. We couldn't, and don't tell him that again. We couldn't get, one night we couldn't get out. We were locked in the room. So we called, and they
what
were like,
yeah.
Remember, Jimmy? They were like, well, just jump over your balcony.
You're on the 12th floor.
I'm not going to jump over my balcony. No, come fix this lock. So then the guy says, I suggest you don't lock it. Oh, do you? Is that what you suggest?
Oh, yeah. That's what trying to set you up.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to set you up so they can steal everything.
We did another story about them.
Let's not go on vacation there. It's probably great people.
I'm sure they're lovely. No, they're not.
What do you got, Klaus?
No, I just wouldn't hang out with any of the American hotel staff either, so I don't shit on the Dominicans.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It was scary.
It may be more germane to the business itself than the Klaus geography.
Being politically correct. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was chicken bones in the hot tub.
What? That's how you make broth, sweetheart.
I think they were
those are probably human bones.
I know. I know. There were bones in the hot tub. I'm like, what?
That's an old Leon Redbone song.
There are bones in hot tub.
Bones
in hot tub.
Don't go in the hot tub. There's chicken bones.
Oh, my God. So gross.
Well, thank you both for being here.
It was a lot of fun, man.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
You're the best.
Christine,
we love you.
We love you, too. We love having you up here.
And we love, thank you, honey, so much. And my Tony, this was a
good job.
Nice treat for me to have Tony here.
And just remember, Monday is an adventure, especially when you have Christine on the show.
Ooh, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Monday on three. One, two, three. Monday!